You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Brent Thomas, and I'm just realizing, wow, I've just had my head in the clouds a little bit tonight. I've been busy with a whole bunch of show-related stuff, been recording a ton of podcasts lately, which is really great, and thank you to all of you who have gone out and subscribed and been checking out the podcasts. They are doing phenomenally well, lots of downloads and lots of people showing interest, and hopefully a lot of new people finding the portal here online as a result. It's just, you know, trying to make the whole community grow, but you guys have done amazing and thank you so much for that. I appreciate your support into this endeavor for us on the portal. Had a great show last night with Don and I doing the mayhem, and ended up talking a lot about the moon of all things. And that's something I really love about the show, is that, honest to God, and it sounds bizarre, but the shows kind of write themselves in a way. We don't always know what we're going to be talking about. And, we may come in with a plan to some degree about, you know, I want to talk about this, have a few things outlined that we want to go over, but then start the show and boom, it takes on a life of its own. We end up going a different direction, and it's really fantastic. It's really a unique, phenomena, for lack of a better word. I don't know how it happens or what's going on exactly, but it's really cool. Let's see what's going on here. So the first one is from Illinois. No, that's not the first one. I was clicking through them. California. So it says, just moved into an apartment in August due to my divorce. Me and my roommate have both had third resident feeling ever since. So they've felt another presence. Though his experiences are different than mine. I do have a master bedroom, and I think that's where the ghost lived. I've narrowed down the time frame to roughly midnight. It says midnight PT. What the hell is PT? Pacific time? To 2 a.m. Pacific time. And before I noticed the activity between 1 and 2 a.m., but since the winter time change, it has moved up an hour to 12 a.m. to 1 a.m. This makes sense. If it is a residual haunting, the event will play back at the time it originally occurred, so the hour difference coincides with the haunting. I can tell when it is there as I start to hear house settling noises, like the walls creaking, or when someone walks, you can sometimes hear the house settling in, around them in response. Well, I hear that noise, but no one is around and my roommate is asleep on the other end of the apartment. So last night, something sat at the edge of my bed. I felt the bed frame give a little bit. And this happened 3 times, and I also hear footsteps walking around the perimeter of my bed. And they then sometimes go into the bedroom, or the bathroom rather, which is adjoining to my room. And I hear my vertical blinds tapping against each other sometimes, like someone is trailing their hand across them as they walk by. Not violent, but just light touches. I felt something touch my chin when I was laying in bed on my back with the covers pulled up in my mouth, and like when a cat will gently paw your face, and I felt something gently touch my chin through the covers. I've heard things slump or bump in the closet. I'm not sure what a slump sounds like, but that's what they describe it as, a slump. I slump all the time in my chair. Or I guess that's a slouch, never mind. And things that are neatly tucked away on the shelves that shouldn't move. I heard a glass tip over in the sink the night before last, and immediately afterwards the noises in my room started up. I try not to be awake during these times, as they are very frightening, and I feel like I like a sitting duck every time it happens. Okay, so here's the thing. If you're awake, then you're aware of it and you can act accordingly. But if you're asleep, then I think you're really more vulnerable, aren't you? I mean, isn't that like, if you're asleep, you're not responding to your environment. So I think if something's going to be lurking around, I'd rather be awake for it, even though it might be more frightening, because the idea of being absolutely helpless would just suck. But I don't know. Anyway, what do you do? Sometimes I hear noises or like someone leaning on my desk or other little environmental disturbances like pops and snaps and creaks, things like that. The apartment building was built in 1981, so it really isn't that old. The house settling noises always occur at this time and never any other time. I'm very observant by nature and like to determine a logical answer before I turn to this type of thing. But since day one, me and my roomie have both said, "Do you feel something here?" And we both agreed yes, and I definitely can tell it is male. So here's the thing. They account for it as a residual haunt, and you know, as I understand it, I'm no expert, but I believe I'm pretty well read on the phenomena. Oh God, it just feels like there's one right in my nostril. But a residual haunting wouldn't probably interact with the environment in such a way as, you know, hearing the clacking of the blinds. It would only be interacting with the environment that was present in whatever time it became a haunting. In other words, in whatever time due to the demise of the person or whenever a energetic event occurred. And so something sitting on your bed is not going to be residual. Like, unless your bed just happens to be in the exact same place and the exact same height and everything else, you shouldn't see any physical representations of that in your environment. Any interaction with the environment itself would automatically make it a cognition presence, because it has to interact with your environment. So I don't agree that it's residual, even though it happens at the same time. The reason it happens at the same time could be due to any other number of factors. I don't think it's residual in the truest sense of the word, but at least by the definitions that I understand. I could be mistaken. Perhaps there are residual haunts that do interact with the environment, but to me, by definition, that would make them intelligent, because they have to interact with the environment. A residual haunt is just events that replay. Like, for instance, the footsteps following the same path every night at the same time. Not necessarily visual, maybe even visual, but walking through doors rather than opening doors, and walking through walls because maybe there used to be a doorway there when that event was, you know, quote unquote, recorded in the environment. So those are some ideas, but that was weird. All right, so that's that story. I think it's a good story. It's fine. But I don't think it's residual. I think that's definitely something intelligent, but what it is doesn't seem malicious either. It's just a presence. So let's go to Louisiana, and see what's going on there. There's a lot of energy in Louisiana. It's got a lot of really, really cool energy. I don't know. When I was down in New Orleans, I really thought that was a really cool place. Just that energy in the air of that place, and all the history. I don't know. I love those old places like that. They just have such a presence. So this one is, that starts pretty sadly. My dad passed away in December of 2005. He was 67 and seemed really healthy considering he was a heavy smoker. When he was taken to the hospital, he told us he really knew that he wasn't coming home and that he had laid out the suit that he wanted to be buried in along with his will. And I told him he was being silly and we would be home soon. And the hospital, the doctors told us he had a severe heart blockage and would require bypass surgery immediately if he stood any chance of surviving. They performed the surgery and said it actually went well, but he never woke up from the surgery. He only lived 2 days after that. And a few weeks after, we were at my mom's house for Christmas, and it was my husband and me and our two sons, who are 12 and 6 years old, and my brother and his wife and his 4 children and my mom. My parents loved Christmas and still treated it as though we were like kids. There were tons of presents in the living room, and we sat down to pass our gifts. My sister-in-law and my nephew were elected to play Santa, as we call it, and they have to wear the Santa hats. And I was taking their picture in front of the Christmas tree, and in the curtain behind the tree, you can see the perfect image of my dad's silhouette in the picture. Oh, cool. Yeah, I'll show that in just a second, ladies and gentlemen, after the story is over. Since that night, we can hear him upstairs walking around in his bedroom, and his TV will come on and when there's nobody upstairs. And I also have smelled smoke in the living room by his recliner where he watched TV and smoked after supper. And my kids say when they spend the night with my mother, that my dad tells them good night, and then you can hear him going upstairs to bed. It scares them, but and they don't like to go over there anymore. Aw, that's sad. I think it's sweet he wants to tell them good night. As time goes on, more things are beginning to happen in the house, and Dad was the only one that went upstairs, and since his death, we rarely go up there for any reason. On occasion, we've went up there to go in the attic, and his toilet will flush and nobody's in there. Should I just let him be, or is there anything I can do to help him move on? Oh, I don't know. I mean, if he's, it's hard to say, is he trapped or is he just like being there? Maybe he's waiting for his wife. Maybe that's the deal. He wants to stick around. I think he's fine as long as, you know, his wife is fine with him being there. I think that's wonderful. All right, so I'm going to show the picture here if I can. Let me see. I'm going to drag it over first. So let me do this and let you guys see this picture because I think it's I just in the little thumbnail version of it that I can see, it looks pretty good. Oh, yeah, look at that. Wow, okay. That really does look like a great capture. That may just... No, you know what? That may just be the... I don't know. That's curious. But let me put it on screen and we'll see here what you guys think. But so it appears this is a mirror right here. And there's a flash, but the flash should be directed towards this corner. However, there does appear to be a reflected image. It would be the other side of this window, which is out of frame by this angle. So the shadow would be over here. But since the flash is coming straight on to these two people, I wouldn't expect that shadow to appear over here. I would expect it to be directly behind them and therefore probably not visible. Now, the person does say this looks exactly like his silhouette, which I think is pretty powerful. And just by virtue of what I can see in this image, I can't debunk that because the flash may reflect off the mirror and go back this way, but the people are already beyond the flash or are in front of that. So the mirror is a little bit behind and off to the right, and then reflecting over would, you know, put it over here. It would put it in the right place, but the flash shadow wouldn't make sense to me, at least not that pristine of a silhouette. So I think they really did get something here. I think that's really impressive and, you know, awesome. I think that's wonderful. So anyway, that's the image that was captured. And yeah, it does look like a silhouette over here. It looks like they did capture something at least really intriguing. I don't know if there was a second flash, maybe at the same exact time. It's hard to say. But that is a pretty good catch, I think, just rudimentarily. You would have to have perfectly timed two flashes to catch a second flash creating that shadow over here if there was a camera. Because she is looking off to this direction, and perhaps she's looking at another camera, but they would have had to been identically timed, because by his height and stuff, that could be, and his shoulder being up, one down, I don't know. But her shadow isn't in there, and I would think her shadow would show up on the side as well, over here, as another bump, but it doesn't. No, I think it's probably a good capture. Just by virtue of what I'm seeing here, if that was a second flash coming this way and back into here, that it would create almost a double lump shadow from her head and his head. But this is a standalone oval, so I think it's a great capture. Just off, you know, first looks, that looks like a great capture. And you guys will have to let me know what you guys think, but I think it's a good catch and very cool. Very cool story. I think it's great. All right, so let's see. This is the next one, I think. Let me see. I hated that house, blah, blah, blah. Now my kid's seen it. Ghost in my house. Here we go. So this is Illinois. Right? Oh, man. Okay, somebody just sent me an email. Wow. Let me just look at this quick. If it's something that we can show on the show, that would be kind of cool. I'm not sure if it is or not, but let me see. Let me refresh this quick. Got to refresh the emails. Okay. Let me see. Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen this one before. Yeah, this is from Genevieve, and she's talking about a demonic entity that they believe was captured behind this person. Now, this is a really famous picture. It's a YouTube video, so I can't actually show it on here because I don't have the permission of the people that created it. But the showcased image on this image on this thumbnail is one that I am familiar with. It looks looks like a dog head behind this person. Right behind, over his shoulder, but definitely looking towards the camera as well. It's not one that I can show, I don't think. I guess I could flash it up there quick. Let me see, make sure there's nothing here. All right, so this is the thumbnail that Genevieve was talking about. And I have seen this picture many times over the past few years, and it is a curiosity. Something bestial is sitting behind this guy's shoulder. Apparently it does look like a dog, like there's a dog behind him, but apparently the guy is standing up and, there's no dog there as I understand the story. So that's really creepy. Very creepy. And thank you, Genevieve, for sharing that. That's really creepy, really scary. Eesh, spooky stuff, I tell you. All right. So let's get back to business here. More stories. I hear the call for more stories. All right, let's get on with the show. Ghosts, another ghost story. This one's coming out of Illinois. Says, this story started long ago when we bought this house. My brother Keith was in his room sleeping when he woke up to a loud bang. The closet door flew open and a heavy metal iron flew across the room. I didn't find out until I switched rooms with him about 3 years ago. So apparently this happened, and this person didn't know about it until after they switched rooms. So ever since then, I hear weird noises at night, footsteps going around the house. A couple of days ago, I was home alone and reading at the computer desk, and my dog was sitting on the couch sleeping, and then she woke up and perked her ears and looked at the stairs. At that time, I heard the door to my room shut and people walking around upstairs. I was so scared that I stopped reading and called my friend and turned up the music really loud, but I still would hear the noises. Oh, okay. It says, about 3 weeks ago, my sister was playing her violin, and then the TV turned on by itself. One night, my friend slept over, and she said that she heard the drawers opening and closing in the room next door. Then the same night, me and my friends heard the gate opening and closing all night. The window kept on rattling, too, and we were freaked out. Whenever we told my mom and dad, they didn't believe us. They told us that we were just imagining things, and my brother said that he could sense demons. He said that there was a wolf demon in the basement, and when I have sleepovers in the basement, I hear people walking around upstairs, and my friends say that too. I don't know what it is, so if you think you know what's going on in my house, please tell me. So here's the thing, and this is something that's come up many times, and I really firmly believe this. First of all, the term demon gets thrown around really casually, like, oh, it's, you know, if it's something negative, it's a demon. You know, it's a demon. If it scares you, it's a demon. And quite frankly, while I don't have a doubt that there are very dark, malicious entities that are called demons that they're around, I don't believe that they're as prolific as people would suggest. You know, I think that a lot of people throw the word demon around because it sounds really sensational. It's kind of like the fish story of the paranormal. You know, if it's a haunting that has any activity at all and it freaks people out, then they always use the word demon. Now, in most cases, ladies and gentlemen, if you really have a demon, and this is something I talked about on a recent podcast, I think on Monday's podcast, this last one, is that if you really have a demonic presence, you probably won't know it. The thing is that demons don't want to broadcast their presence. They don't want you to know because they have a very specific agenda about what they're doing, and it has everything to do with destroying someone. In the traditional sense, demons are just angry, and they want to tear down the world around them, or, you know, anything about us. But if they broadcast their presence and just make it incredibly obvious, then it allows people to react and get help. Most demonic attachments and issues happen incredibly seductively, incredibly quiet, incredibly discreet. They don't broadcast their presence. They just slowly and over a period of time exert their influence and try to change somebody. Whoever the target is, they have nothing but time, but they're certainly not going to make themselves known with slamming doors and throwing things around and doing that, because once that happens, then people usually reach out for help, like, you know, priests, shamans, religious people of whatever, you know, flavor of religion that you happen to observe. And every religion has its form of exercising things, whether from a home or from a person. And, you know, they don't want people to know they're there. They want to influence and create corruption and oppression until that person is so weak. And by the time you know the demon is there, it's usually really late in the game, and it's going to be incredibly an incredibly big battle. So, you know, people throw that word around an awful lot, but I don't think they really understand. And I'm not claiming that I know it all either, but I do believe I know that. You know, I do believe that, you know, any kind of predator, and a demon would certainly be a predator. Any kind of predator tries to not alert the prey to their presence. That's why cats get low and they use cover and they try to get downwind, and, you know, they want to sneak up until they can just lunge out and grab. You know, they don't want to do a 5-mile run after prey and exert all that energy and risk getting hurt. They want their prey to be effectively at a huge disadvantage when they pounce. And that is the same for any other thing that preys on other beings. You know, the term demon just gets, you know, thrown around like a calling card. And I get it. For paranormal investigators, it sounds really impressive. Well, we investigated a demonic presence in a, you know, that sounds incredible. That sounds really, you know, incredibly brave, and it's a hell of an achievement. It's a hell of an accomplishment. You know, demonic presences are on an my God scale. They are like, you know, a 10. Most ghosts and hauntings are, you know, 2 and 3, 1, 2, 3. But then when you get to something that's truly a demonic presence, the power and energy that they can exert is just off the charts. So, you know, it sounds cool to say you've investigated demons and stuff like that, but I don't think there are as many around as people claim, and you better hope to God that you never have to meet one. Not that you need to be afraid. I'm not trying to inspire fear, but I think a healthy respect for the fact that these are very dangerous things. And, you know, throwing that title around is, you know, it's just a seems to me like a gross exaggeration in most cases. Let's see, the next story. The next one is from Indiana. It says, as you will, okay, blah, blah, blah. There's been things happening that I can't explain and I cannot decipher. After the last time the house had remained kind of quiet, or at least I had thought, that is until having a conversation with my son and daughter, I found out the exact opposite. On Monday, let me see. I just want to make sure. Yeah. Okay. On Monday, I was getting ready to leave and go to work as usual. And I was running around trying to get the kids ready to go to school. Jacob is 7 and is in the second grade and goes to school close to home. And Emily is 4. And I have her in a private Christian school since it is less expensive and having her in daycare. And she is learning. So I like her being there. And as you well know, we are a Christian family and believe in Jesus as our personal savior. So my kids, although they have, although they have their own happenings with ghosts, they say they are angels. At least my daughter says they are. And they have never had any of them hurt and actually have helped them. So the ones that I believe they are seeing are guardian angels. Just a small story. I was in the garden and I was trying to get rid of the weeds when we got the house, and it had a smell of cigarettes. The people that lived here prior to us would smoke in the house, and so of course the house had that smell penetrating the walls and the carpeting. And later, when we had the carpets changed and the walls painted with some stuff that kills the smoke smell and others, and now that is gone, but at the time it was still there. So I had the windows open, including the ones in the upstairs, and that is where the kids' bedrooms are at. I was in the garden and something told me to look up, and I see my daughter standing at the window with her head sticking out. My heart dropped and I thought, she's going to fall and break her head. I told her, Emily, sweetie, why don't you come down here with mommy and help me in the garden? I noticed that she looked back as if someone was calling her, and then she looked back at me, and then she moved away from the window. I figured she's coming down as I told her, and when she got to where I was, I said, Emily, I don't want to see you looking out the window. You could fall and get hurt. And she looked at me and smiled and said, don't worry, mommy. He already told me not to because I could get hurt, so that is why I came down. As if nothing, I said, oh, yeah, well, who is he? And she said, oh, silly mommy, my angel. And she got up and ran away. I was frozen. So that is why I say there are guardian angels. And well, again, back to the beginning, I was getting ready for work and I went upstairs to make sure my son had brushed his teeth. And he looked at me and said, mommy, you know what happened to me? And I said, what? And he says, I was using the bathroom and flushed the toilet and put the seat down and turned to brush my teeth. And I felt as if someone was next to me. And when I turned around, the seat was up. And I looked at him and said, are you sure? And he said, yes, mom, I even put it back down, and when I turned around again, it was up. I asked him if this was the only thing that had happened, and he said no. He said, there's been other things happening that he has seen and has been hearing noises and steps, and at times, he wants to run down the stairs. I sent him to bed on Sunday, the day before this, and he threw a fit and started crying, saying he was scared and he wanted to sleep with me. And I always read the Bible to them before I put them to sleep out loud, and we pray as well. And I really could not tell if he was scared or just a tantrum, so he could go to bed with me. I don't know, you guys, what do you think? I still can't seem to find any history on the house or property. I don't know. Hard to say. Hard to say. I mean, benevolent presences are wonderful. I'm not sure about the whole toilet seat thing, though. Clearly, it's a guy. Clearly, that spirit's a guy because, you know, if it was female, it definitely would have wanted the seat down. I've been in a lot of relationships. I know how that works. So, anyway, the next one's coming out of New York, ladies and gentlemen. And this one is, I've given up on trying to deny the fact that my family seems to be haunted. Not our houses, not the cities in which we live, but us. But this was the worst thing I've ever encountered. Back in the fall of 2001, my sister, mom, dad, and I had just moved to Cumberland Gap in Tennessee. We lived in this really old white house, and it had plants growing all over the place, and the paint was chipping. But outside of that, it was really a beautiful house, and it was old-fashioned, and it had two stories, and there was a door coming out of the upstairs hallway that you could open and go out onto the hill outside. The house was completely infested with fleas, but we needed a place to live, and we couldn't afford it, so we just kept the air conditioner running as high as we could to get and they didn't seem to bite as much. Oh, okay. Maybe if you make them cold, they don't bite much. Huh. The first day my sister and I were there, we had just come back from vacation with my grandparents, and our cat had had kittens, and that they all had died. But we just figured they crawled a bit and didn't make it after that, and it didn't seem odd at all that they were spread out across the house, but thinking about it now, it kind of is. We were there a couple of days, and my sister and I started school, and it was a very small school, but our cousins went there too, so it didn't seem as hard, and when I say small, I don't mean only a few teachers. There weren't classrooms. You know, those wall-type thingy pieces that are on wheels and you move around? The walls of classrooms were those. I could not find my way around at all unless I followed my classmates closely. Again, I didn't think much of it at first. That kid started whispering, but then the bus stopped at our house, and it's probably nothing. But if they knew how creepy this place was, it would have been nice for a warning. My sister and I slept in our room a total of 5 nights in that house. Our room had a very creepy feeling to it, and I just didn't like it at all. My sister, who is one of the bravest people I know, didn't like it either, and we started sleeping in the living room, her on the couch and me on the floor, and I had horrible nightmares every night in that house. There was a hole in the living room floor big enough for you to sink into if you stepped in it, and I remember one night I was so scared for some reason I can't remember that I ran to my parents' room and didn't even ask before I climbed into bed with them, and I noticed that their room felt weird too. Have you ever been in a really dark room and after a while it looks like television fuzz looking at the wall or ceiling? I'm hoping it was that, but that night I could have sworn I saw little people crawling around. I absolutely hate that house. We moved fairly quickly because my parents were getting bad feelings too, and my dad is not the kind of person to believe in anything remotely ghost-like. Do you think it was haunted, or are we just paranoid? No, I think it sounds pretty haunted. You know, seeing creepy things crawling around, even out of the corner of your eye, if you see it enough, you got to kind of start going, well, maybe something's really there. It sounds like some kind of weird infestation. I don't pretend to know what they're dealing with there, but it killed all the kittens as well. That's horrible, all throughout the house. I don't understand. That's not good. The next one's coming out of Tennessee. First, let me start off by giving you a little bit of the history. I grew up in a fairly good-sized farm. Several of the children built homes surrounding the main house and raised families of their own. So in the late 50s, my older brother built the block house right next to the main house, and he lived there several years before building a larger house further away. Being recently divorced and now single, I moved into the blockhouse in the late 80s or early 90s. The blockhouse consisted of three rooms, and as you entered the front door, you'd be in the main room, which was the living room, dining room, and to the right of that, you had a very small kitchen, and further to the right was a small bedroom. Being right beside the main house, there is no need for a bathroom, and none of the interior doors had actual doors. None of the interior doors had actual doors. Okay, so the door frames were just open. Gotcha. Now, in most stories, it takes a while before things start happening, right? Wrong. It started my first night there. Like I said, I was single again, and I didn't need much furniture. All the furniture I had to start was a bed, a table, and one easy chair and a TV. You have to have a TV. My first night there, I watched television until about midnight, and then I went to bed. And from the angle my bed sat, you could look out into the bedroom door, through to the kitchen and into the living room. And I lay there for a while, trying to sleep, and for whatever reason, opened my eyes and looked towards the living room and saw a bright reddish-orange glow. Thinking maybe the house was on fire, I jumped up and ran into the living room. And now remember, this is a very small house, and it only took a few seconds to make it to the living room. And when I got there, nothing. No fire, no glow, nothing. Well, I lay back down and tried to sleep, and I guess I dozed off for a while, because when I woke up, the glow was back. I got up and went to the living room, and again, it was gone. I sat down in the easy chair and stayed up the rest of the night. I asked my brother about it the next day, and he said he was not to be surprised at what you might see or hear in that house. I guess don't be surprised at what you see or hear in there. Over the 4 or 5 years I lived in that house, I heard many things, too many to count, but I will tell two that stand out in my memory. The first incident happened several times, but the most memorable was after my nephew, Lee, moved in with me. Sorry, I just had to look at the call board. Lee had his bed set up in the far left-hand corner of the living room, and one night we were watching TV, I in my easy chair, and Lee stretched out on his bed, and I got up to go to the kitchen for another cup of coffee. I've always been a big coffee drinker, and as I took a step, something underneath the floorboards pecked where my foot was. Another step, another peck. Each step I took, I got another peck. These pecks weren't very loud. You could barely hear them over the television, but you could feel them on the bottom of your feet. Well, I got my coffee and came back and sat down. The pecks followed me all the way to and from the kitchen. Just to see if it would happen again, I told Lee that I had some Cokes in the fridge and that he could have some if he wanted it. Lee started in the kitchen, and the same thing happened to him. Step, peck, he looked at me wild-eyed and exclaimed, "What the hell's going on?" I just grinned. Lee knew about the house too, but I think this was the first time he experienced anything. The second thing happened sometime later. It was winter time, and me and Lee was watching TV. That's what it says. Me and Lee was watching TV. We had the door closed and the fire going in the old warm morning stove. Right in the middle of our show, there was a rap on the front door, followed by two or three more. It sounded like they were knocking on the glass of the inner door. Well, I jumped up and ran to the door, thinking something had happened to Mom in the main house and that they might need help getting her up off the floor or something. Then I got to the door. Nobody was there. I went and sat back down, and Lee asked who was at the door, and I told him no one. He then asked if I had seen anyone running away, and I said no one knocked on the door because the outside screen door was locked. We had an old-fashioned screen door, not a storm door, and it was impossible to knock on the inside door without opening the screen door. Lee looked at me and grinned kind of sheepish-like and said, "We ain't going to be getting much sleep tonight, are we?" I moved out of the blockhouse in the mid-90s, and it has sat empty for several years, but has now been renovated and has had a bathroom added. My daughter is making plans to move into it. I wonder how long that'll last. Yeah, I hope you warned her. I don't know. That sounds like a creepy place. Good luck to your daughter. Wow. Well, I want to read this first one. This sounds really cool. So this one has to do with a mirror. This is coming out of California. And today I'm writing this on the account that I've actually seen a ghost. If I had taken a picture and was able to post it along with the story, I would. And please, if you do not believe me, then do not mock me. I'm posting the story because I need help. About a few months ago, I was staying up late due to a party I had earlier, and the caffeine from soda had finally kicked in, and I wasn't even tired. After hours of sitting in my room and entertaining myself, I needed to go to the bathroom. After taking care of my business, I opened the bathroom door and stepped out, and my house has a lot of mirrors, one wall length in the bathroom and one vanity mirror right outside the door and next to my bedroom. So if you were to open the door, the first thing you would see is your own reflection. However, it was not me in the mirror. At least when I turned the light off, I looked back from the switch to the mirror and everything behind me was dark. Nothing but shadows. My bedroom door was open and let light shine in the hall. I froze in the threshold of the bathroom doorway, afraid to move. A girl I didn't know was staring at me with an evil look on her face. I slowly took a step towards my bedroom, trying not to look in the mirror. Unfortunately, I have an insatiable curiosity and did not look away. After making it to my room, I thought maybe it was my mind playing tricks on me, and I turned up my PC off and then my light, and I ran to my bed and hopped in, and I hated what I saw next. She was in my bedroom mirror and had a full-length view of her. She smiled at me, not kindly, though. And after 3 hours of thinking it was just my imagination, it's too wild for me sometimes. I started to doze off, and before I completely fell asleep, I felt a sharp pain on my chest and sprung awake. The girl was at my bedside. I thought I was dreaming, but when I woke up the next morning, I had a round scar where I felt the pain. Please help me. I can't turn to family since I'm the only one who has seen her. And the fact that I have disorders, none of which have to do with being crazy, but if I were to tell them, they would think I'm trying to draw attention to myself and scold me. Every month it gets worse, and now I'm afraid to be alone in a room with a mirror or have to turn on a light in a dark room that has a mirror in it. I've never been so scared before, and it takes a lot to scare me. So please, if you have any advice, let me know. You might want to get rid of some mirrors, I'm thinking. mirrors are mystical objects, ladies and gentlemen, and they can serve as portals. Not all mirrors are portals, though. I mean, it doesn't work like that. But some of them can be. And usually it's by ritual that they can be made, into portals, but they can also by ritual be unmade. Just look, if you have a mirror in your house and you're pretty sure something creepy is going on with it, just follow your faith in that. Look to people in your faith, but there are ways to close those kind of things and to seal them. That's really creepy. I don't know. If I looked in the mirror and saw somebody else but me looking back, I'd have real problems with that. And I would have one less mirror in my house. I'll guarantee you that. It's kind of a dark thing usually, I think. I don't think that those are generally good things. I don't think mirrors as portals are a good thing. At least not in the hands of just everyday people. Now there are practices in which utilize mirrors for scrying and stuff like that. And that's not dark or horrible. It's what the hell are they called? I'm trying to remember. There's a specific name for using a mirror for scrying and I almost had it. It's on the tip of my tongue, but it's a practice that's been dated all the way back to ancient Egypt. And it's been used in even some modern modalities in terms of helping people with grief, something obliterium or something like that. I can't remember the name. It's escaped me, but People have reported sitting in a darkened room with like a candlelight or like a 5-watt light bulb. So the room is black. You sit in a comfortable chair with a real small light behind you, like a nightlight kind of light, or a candle. And then you look into a mirror that's got a little bit of an angle to it, so you're not seeing your own reflection. But people have reported talking to loved ones and having conversations and having some really healing experiences, you know, when grieving over lost loved ones. So apparently there's some really cool things that can happen as a result of that. But again, you know, don't play with things you don't understand. I'm not encouraging that. What the hell is it called, though? I can't remember. Somebody, sanitarium? No, it's not a sanitarium. It's a, I can't remember. It's close, though. It's a, damn it. What is that called? I got to look it up now because it's going to drive me crazy. Anybody in the chat got it? Or are you going to make me Google? Or actually, I'm using Ecosia again. It's a search engine that as you use it, it's supposed to plant trees. So I think that's pretty cool. And, you know, it basically uses the same databases as Google anyway, as far as I can tell. I don't see a lot of difference. But mirror scrying name. What is it called again? Blah, 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 blah. I got to see what it is. Darn it. I know this name, too. It's going to drive me crazy until I find out this title again. Something Ablatarium or something. I can't remember. Erg. What is this called? Nobody in there? I'm Googling it. Sorry, guys. I just got to know now because I'm it's driving me crazy. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, no. Oh, it's not. I got a bad page here. Nothing helping me there. And now there's a using and empowering a black mirror. Really? Well, there you go. Yeah, if there's anything you can find, it's, I don't know. I'm not finding it, darn it. Well, I hope somebody in the chat will help me out here because it's an ablatarium. It ends in terium. I just can't remember it. So if somebody in the chat can find it out, that'd be great. I don't want to sit and Google for 5 minutes during the show. Damn it, it'll come to me in a soon enough. But yeah, mirrors can be very mystical objects. They can be portals. They can be, you know, ways that spirits can enter and leave. And sometimes those can happen inadvertently, but usually it's by desire that they're created as portals. So, but they can be uncreated and sealed as well. So don't feel like, you know, if you feel you have a mirror that's been allowing entrance of dark things into your house, you can close that door. Let's see the next one. This one's coming from California. It's not too long. I think we can read this one. About 3 years ago, I was visiting my great uncle's grave, and I was leaving him for his favorite flowers and an American flag, and I stood there for a while talking to his tombstone, hoping he would know I was still visiting. I'd only met him once, but I admired him and wouldn't forget him. A lot of people think he died in war, but he didn't, only of natural causes. It began to rain, and I love the rain, but still wanting a jacket since I was wearing a thin shirt, and after about 2 minutes, my shoulders were becoming visible through my shirt and suddenly feeling dry and warm. I looked up to see a boy smiling at me, and he told me I would catch cold if I stood in the rain like that, so I accepted his gesture. After I finished my visit, I walked back to the gate together, and he offered to walk me back to my grandparents since he was afraid I would be hurt if I were walking alone. After an hour of walking, my mom drove up near us and motioned for me to get in the car, and she said she was just about to come and get me, and I tried to give the boy his jacket back. He rejected me, waved goodbye, and walked off. I entered the car and drove home with my mom. The next day I was cleaning my clothes when I came across his jacket and decided to wash it and return it to him, and I checked the pockets of the jacket and found the address written on it, and after washing it, I headed to the street that was on the paper, only a one-lane road and one house. I knocked on the door, and after a few seconds a woman opened the door. I smiled and told her that her son had loaned me his jacket last night and that I wanted to give it back to him. She broke out in tears and looked down at me, enraged. She scolded me and thought I was mocking her. I told her I didn't know what she meant, and she burst out crying even harder. She looked at me this time with happiness. I was shocked at what she told me next. She said her son died a year ago yesterday, and he couldn't possibly have given me his jacket, but what she said after that was even weirder. It was the jacket he wore the night he died. I ended up keeping the jacket and going back home to California. It's now my favorite jacket. Occasionally I see the boy. He follows me around when I'm in Indiana, and I've also gotten into more trouble after that. More near-death experiences, and even when I was flying back to Indiana last week, our plane almost crashed. We were in Indiana Air at the time, and I was asleep, and when turbulence happened, I woke, and next to me in the empty seat was the boy, his hand on mine, and after a minute or so, we regained altitude, and everything was okay. After regaining altitude, though, he was gone. That night, when I was using my mom's laptop in the basement while watching my baby cousin, Garrett, he appeared. He smiled, kissed my forehead, and left again. He always appears when I'm in Indiana and places a hand on mine before disappearing. So tell me, do you think this ghost is just following me or something? You know, this is one of those stories that it's... I don't know. I don't know if I can buy it, to be honest with you. It's just way too convenient, and it follows so many urban legends in its narrative that I think this is just a piece of creative writing. I mean, not that it's impossible. I don't mean to imply that, but, you know, come on. I don't know. This one just sits sideways for me. I'm sorry. I don't buy it. I think that's made up. It's just too convenient. It's just like, oh, he's everywhere. It's like your own personal super ghost. I don't know. All right, I'm giving you one more, ladies and gentlemen, but because I can't end on a bad story like that. I just don't believe that last one at all. I think it's just way too convenient. So when I was 15, we lost our home and had to move in with my aunt, and it was definitely a full house. A lot of cousins, along with my grandmother, my brother, and myself, all living together. I started noticing a lot of strange things almost immediately after staying there. Doors opening and closing on their own, footsteps moving up and down the stairs at night, etc. However, the most memorable to me took place one afternoon while I was downstairs in the den area. There were only two bedrooms downstairs, one at the bottom of the staircase and the other at the end of the hallway, in front of the den. I was in the den with my cousin Mark, his girlfriend, and her two kids, and my other two cousins, Kaya and Tawana, T-A-W-A-N-A. Except for my aunt, who was upstairs asleep, we were the only ones in the house. We were playing cards and listening to the stereo that was in Mark's room, the room in front of the den. And then out of nowhere, we all heard loud crashing sounds stopping the music. Everyone jumped up in shock. Mark and I started to head for his bedroom when his girlfriend yelled out, "Who was that?" Everyone looked towards the room at the bottom of the stairs, but nobody was there. She said that when we all got up, and after the loud noise, she had seen someone walk out of that room and up the stairs. No one else had seen it, but we all split up, and Mark and I going to his room, while the girls went to check the upstairs. When we got into his room, we were in total shock when we saw his stereo. It was on the floor, and it had a big dent in the back of it, as if someone had hit it, or something. It had been on the same spot for years and had never fallen or been moved before. Just a few moments after our discovery, the girls came back downstairs also in shock. They told us that my aunt was still deep in her sleep and that no one else was in the house. None of us could explain what had just happened. That was the most interesting thing to have happened to me while staying there, and I haven't been there in a few years, but my aunt still lives there. Maybe one day I'll go back and visit to see if there's still any activity. Very cool. Very cool story. It's possible. Maybe someone didn't like the loud music. So I love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. And we'll be back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. right here on YouTube or on TFR Live. portalpodcast.com. So plenty of options to stay in touch with the portal. And don't forget to check out the podcast if you haven't already. You can find the Paranormal Portal on iTunes, iHeart. We got our own podcast tile over there. It's really cool. And Pandora. A lot of people are checking us out on Pandora. It's been really cool. So love you guys. Have a great night and sweet dreams.
Hi, this is Don with Paranormal Portal. Thank you for checking out our Paranormal Portal podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/paranormalportal. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/paranormalportalradio.
Sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.